The title of this message is The Committed Spirit. The Committed Spirit. As I like to do, I want to go back and mention some things that I have said a number of times, but they're so important that I feel it's necessary that I re-emphasize them. And besides that, we are slow learners. We're human, and the reason we have repeats in high school or in schooling is because it takes us a while to grasp just about anything. And so, I mentioned before, I'm going to say this again, the real prophet of God says, hear the word of the Lord. Hear God's word. While the false prophets say, hear the words of men. And see, men hated the real prophets because they would not tell them what they wanted to hear. And so it is today. I mean, been there, done that. And I watched in a particular case as someone only wanted the prophets, and we had prophets in the church, to support what they were sure was the truth. However, the end of the matter showed that what they believed maybe contained, maybe there was some truth in it, but for the most part, it was not the truth. And in fact, if a prophet would have spoken the truth in that environment, they probably would have been disfellowshipped. And so, and then the next point is this unity through diversity concept that is so popular with so many churches, or so many Christians, or so many churchgoers, is what it actually means is fellowship without change. We want fellowship, but we don't want to change. And so what it is, it's not receiving a love for the truth. It's the opposite of it. I realized one morning why the Romans and the Jews who came to take Christ fell back when he said, I am he. And of course, people said, well, maybe the he wasn't on it. He just said, I am, because he's God. But that is not really. It was not because he was God, God himself. That was not the reason. But rather because, number one, he was given the Holy Spirit without measure. Number two, he was the express image of the invisible God. And number three, God was pleased to have his fullness within Christ. And number four, in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And number five, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And number six, it says, the Word was made flesh. So he was the Word in fullness. In Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34, Jesus cried out on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And my question is, were all of these things from above suddenly removed from him? And which God could do. And, I mean, temporarily at least. Now, human nature is usually dishonest. However, by the hearing of God's Holy Spirit-led truth, we can develop a divine nature that leads to honesty, to truth, and a love for the truth. See, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And yet, faith only comes by the hearing of God's words of truth. So, what is the key? See, it's a catch-22. Where do we begin with this thing? Now, it says no man has ever seen God. And the reason is, he can't be seen. And so, my question is, did Enoch and Adam and Cain and Moses, did these people see God? Well, I think that the one that, if any of them would have seen God, it probably would have been Moses, but at the same time, God said, no man has seen him and lived. You can't see God and live. And so he put his hand over Moses' face and let some of his glory pass by Moses. And when he did, Moses began to light up like a Christmas tree, and he had to put a veil over his face because the Israelites couldn't stand to look at him. And so, anyway, men have a hard time receiving a love for the truth, which would mean they have to hear the truth, but they don't. They hate to hear the truth, but they don't want to. And so men heap to themselves teachers who tell them what they want to hear. And so they have warmed over outdated manna, doctrine that makes them feel comfortable, and yet it sends their souls to hell. And see, going to today's church structure allows men to hear what they want, what they're familiar with. And that's, you know, remember we used to have the Amen Corner? Well, that was because people like to hear what they already know. They don't want to hear something new. And so being led by the Holy Spirit is like Peter walking on the water by faith. However, since God knows everything and we know so very little, then true faith that comes by hearing causes us to understand by faith, and it causes men to turn to God for truth and revelation and knowledge rather than turning to the ignorance of men's wisdom. Paul said, when I came to the Corinthians, he told me, he said, I didn't come with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I'm saying, it's no wonder then that Paul warned us through Timothy. He says, in the last days perilous times are come, will come. And then in verse 5 he said, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, he says, men will have a form of godliness and deny the power. And I thought, does that matter? Yes, that matters. Yes, that matters. It finally hit me. God wants a demonstration of his power so that men's faith will rest in him. And so I was directed into hearing only God's word by the Holy Spirit and away from hearing the foolishness of men's theories. See, to hear only the word of God and then to believe it is a real basis for salvation. And the only way into the kingdom of God, and it only comes without observation. So, anyway, the committed spirit. Most men never find God. See, few there be that find it. And the thing they find is God. It has to be God they're talking about. Few there be that find it. And they never find it because they never seriously look. And that was the thing that I was told right away, you know, when I heard the voice, it says, if you're serious, you got to look for me where I am. And so over the years, men may make futile attempts, I mean, been there, done that, futile attempts to actually find God. But man's lower nature is too easily sidetracked. That's why God said, if you're really serious. Because my lower nature had been sidetracked too many times. And so God said, if you look for me with all of your heart, I mean, that, he didn't say that when I that what I heard. That's in the Bible. Then you will find me. And my question here would be, how much exactly is all of the heart? What's he talking about? See, man's lower nature is determined to hang on to at least some of the heart. I'd like to say, been there, done that. I'd like to say, been there, still doing that. And then, after men put forth what they consider most of their heart and seem to draw a blank, then they tend to settle for a relationship with God that is pretty much like those around them have. And the result, they never do ever get to know God. And so Daniel said, and they that do know their God, and they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. And so men get convicted in their heart. And the first thing they say is, "What I need to start going to a church someplace." And then they end up, their end is worse than where they were in the beginning, as they get drawn into something that gets them further and further from God, then closer as their ignorant minds imagined. It doesn't get them closer to God, it gets them further. It's subtle. Tricky, the demonic, because the devil has this trickery, and we get into a God that's, or into a church that is in false doctrine. You know what that does? That gets us further and further away from God. But we don't know that. It don't make sense. What we need to do, if we're going to find God, we need to go to church. And so let me present something. Since the real word was with God and therefore was God, and therefore God never changes, so the word still is God, which means the real, you know, then don't we have to first find God's word in order to find God? See, that's what it was. If you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And I was made to understand the only place I could find God was in this word. And is that not, I mean, that's what the voice said. See, if you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. And did not that not set God's word of truth as revealed by the Holy Spirit out in front of us? All of a sudden, the word of God, the Bible that thousands, millions of people have, was the answer to the dilemma that I've been looking for, but without understanding. And so the devil had me deceived. I mean, I've been deceived right along with everybody else. And so as I kept hearing God's word with an open heart, then some very obvious things began to jump out at me. Today's churches are almost without exception a self-righteous mess. Almost without exception, as the leaders present their followers with theories and conclusions of their own minds not found anywhere within God's holy word. You know what? I've been a part of that for so many years. I am so glad that by God's mercy and God's grace that he let me see that. And I don't mean to sound judgmental in what I'm saying. I'm saying that's who we are. That's where we are. So only God can straighten this mess out. And so men travel all over the globe to hear the best enticing words of men's wisdom that they can hear. Travel all over. Been there, done that. I've traveled. I haven't traveled all over the world, but I've traveled, you know, a lot in America to hear enticing words of men's wisdom. And I've listened. I thought, oh, wow, is that ever something? Is that ever marvelous what I just heard? And then now as I look back at it, I think, oh, no, did I buy that? And so as they travel all over to find the truth, but it says in Amos, but God keeps them, his word of truth, away from them. They'll never find it, he says. And so the places of refuge that men think they are running into, and actually God always had in the Old Testament, in the back, you know, number of places, he set aside some places that he called places of refuge. And if somebody was a murderer, as a matter of fact, I think that's what it was, they could run into these places and be safe. I mean, the people there knew what they had done, but they could be into these places of refuge. So the churches today are considered places of refuge that men think that they are running into are more like demonic snares that capture the unsuspecting souls as Satan's ministers of false righteousness. And to tell you what, lead them down paths of no return. There was a movie years and years ago, I think, if I remember right, who was that blonde, I can't say what her name, but it was called The River of No Return. You ever hear of that movie? Marilyn Monroe was in it. And so when I hear someone say today's churches don't go by the Bible, and I heard that from a couple of people, that I love them and I haven't seen them and I don't know how they got this conclusion, but they said, you know, we've come to the conclusions that today's churches don't go by the Bible. And I said, God bless you. God bless you. You know what that is? That is a major starting point. That's a major revelation. And also what it tells me is they are now in a place of switching over to God's word for direction. You can't get the direction in the church because it's not there. It's a confused mess. And I think about Jesus asking his disciples to say, who do you say that I am? See, at first he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some of you say that you're one of the prophets and you're this and you're that. And some of you say you're Elijah. And he said, well, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ of God. You know what the Christ of God is? It's a man, son of God. Christ is anointed flesh. That's what Christ means. And how they make the word Christ into God the Son, I don't know. And Jesus said, flesh and blood have never revealed, can't reveal this to you. It's not possible. The revelation you got came from God himself. And so, God bless you. And that's what happened. God has blessed these people in letting them know that that these churches are not going by the word. And he's also, on the other hand, I realize that what they're telling me is they are beginning to. And when you go by the word, you really don't need. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be separate." And if you come out from among the churches, the only thing you got left is the word of God. And so that's what God wants us to do. It's not that we have to leave the church, but we have to come out of the church. Our system, we have to come out of it in our minds and fall in love with God's word. It's not that people don't have to leave the churches necessarily, but I tell you what, sometimes if you start getting in love with God's word and you start promoting it, they help you leave. In order to see the church of scriptural ignorance, men must first believe God's word to be the truth. See, Jesus said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So is this his word? Or are these all of these funny, strange things that we hear in the churches, are those the word? And it's like, for many, many years, I was deceived. And I was thinking, well, what I'm hearing is God's truth. That's the truth. These men are mighty men of God. And what I was hearing is the figments of their own imagination. And so, even though the kingdom of God comes without observation, I'm beginning to realize that there are major things that God allows men to see through faith that allows them to see the evidence of God's real kingdom. See, I am seeing the kingdom of God develop right here. And not many. And of course, until God opens our eyes, we can't know either. You know, it takes God to do it. And of course, looking in the right direction, a place to find God in truth, is a great mystery to both the world and today's church. You know, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. You got to look for me in the right place. And if you're going to look for God in the right place, it means don't look for God in the wrong place. You know, that really is a great mystery. I mean, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am, and then you got to look for me in the right place. Don't look for me in the wrong place. And so I didn't find God over the years because I was looking in the wrong place. The world basically disdains, they hate the Bible and sees it as foolishness. The Bible is the most well-read or still the most popular of any book that exists. And yet the world per se sees it as foolishness. And education, which should bring us to a relationship with the Word of God, does not do that, because it's built on false theories. See, and the devil has twisted God's Word within the hearts and the minds of today's church until it has become a dull sword to them. See, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, any double, you know, sharper than a razor blade. And so the Bible, in its given position, has the power and the authority of the Creator behind it. And as such, Jesus Christ, being made the Word of God, and he was, has all the fullness of God's power to work with. And so in John 16:15, Jesus made a hard-to-understand statement. It's really hard. And he said, all things that the Father have are mine. Wait a minute. Does that make him his own father? Or when it says, all power has been given to me, all authority has been given to me, does that make him God? If God gave him all power, does that mean he's God? If God gave me all power, would that make me God? You know what I'm saying? And so, he said he had the Spirit without measure. He had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And of course, John 28, or Matthew 28:18, just before that 28:19 verse, so the only one that the Trinitarians have to baptize with, he said, "All power is given to me. Go ye therefore." Which means what? Does that not tell us then, if all power has been given to us, and he says, "Go ye there," then therefore, does that not tell us that true disciples are also given the same God-given power? Is that why the first church was a manifestation of Christ? The Peter of the shadow of Peter, people wanted it to pass over him so their sick could be healed. Handkerchiefs were taken off from Paul, just little pieces of cloth, and they put it on people and God healed them. You know, and so see, the first church manifested the same power that Jesus had. As a matter of fact, it tells us in the last verse of the Gospel of Mark, it says that God confirmed his word with signs. God will confirm the truth, but he won't confirm the false. And so then, is that why the Bible says that, where Jesus says, "Greater things will ye do"? And the first church manifested the same authority, the same power as Christ did. And so were they better, were they the exception? Or were they the norm? And I say they're supposed to be the norm. And since Paul prophesied to us through 2 Timothy 3:5 and warned us that in the last days that men would deny God's power, would that not tell us that God wants to continue with a manifestation of his power? I say yes. I just saw it just recently myself. See, when the first church did signs and wonders, we are told that those who saw these things took note that these men had been with Jesus. They took note, it says, that you know these men that are doing these miracles? At one time, they were with Jesus. See, that was their comment. And, of course, the devil has his lying signs and wonders. And just as the Egyptians' false prophets were able to copy the things that God did through Moses, remember? Moses had the frogs show up, and he had the plague show up, and he had this show up. He had all these things. And a lot of these first things that they did, remember the Moses' rod turned into a snake. And so the Egyptian prophets, they took some fix of some kind and they threw them on the ground, they became snakes. But guess what happened? Moses' snake ate up all of them. Ate up their snakes. And so the devil has his lying signs and wonders. And however, God is wanting to build his real kingdom based upon the faith in the power of God rather than with faith in the wisdom of men. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:15 or 2:5. And how we see much emphasis upon men and their greatness. See, in 1 Peter 5:6, it tells us that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, in due season, God will exalt us. That's what it says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season God will exalt you. And here are my thoughts. I would just as soon that if I'm going to ever be exalted, I would just as soon that it takes place in the next life. And especially since I'm getting pretty close to the end of this one, what would it gain me to be exalted here? Well, the title of this message has to do with something within men that probably God pays a lot more attention to than we do. And it's, see, the spirit, the committed spirit. And David had a committed spirit. And even though he did some dumb things, like lots of other people did, I mean, he saw this beautiful woman out washing herself, and I don't know if she was naked or something, but she was out washing herself, just a gorgeous woman. And he wanted her. And so he brought her in, and then she's married. She had a husband. And her husband was one of David's best generals. He was over some part of his army. And so David kept having a relationship with her until she became pregnant. And so then he called her husband. He thought, well, I mean, in those days they didn't have DNA and they couldn't. And so he came in out of the fighting, but he was so devoted to David. He was so devoted to David that he wouldn't sleep with his wife. And so now David had a problem. So he has Uriah, that was the Hittite, that was her husband, he has him sent into the battlefield, right out in the front lines, and of course he got killed. And so now David is fine. And but the Bible tells us that still after all of this, that David was a man after God's heart. And why? Well, I think that we can see why through the Psalms that David wrote. Instead of giving up and quitting, David cried out to God and found mercy. See, he had a committed spirit. And so in spite of his human weaknesses, and when the prophet Nathan came to him and showed him and told him what he had done, instead of doing like a lot of people would do and saying, disfellowship this guy, he repented before God and he said, just whatever God wants, that's what I'll do. And he was given a number of choices, and he said, I want to put myself in God's hands. Let God do what he wants. And so in spite of his human weaknesses, he wanted to do things God's way. And so I believe that I am seeing a committed spirit within those who are a part of this old oddball church. We obviously don't fit into the church structure as around us, and yet we are beginning to experience the life-transforming power of God's eternal word. I have been as dumb as a box of rocks, and yet somehow I know that God has seen something within me that I could never see myself. And by foreknowledge, God has seen something. And I now realize that I'm in the midst of a small group who have the same committed spirit that I have. And the way to eternal life is very straight and very narrow. And the Bible says, and few there be that find it, which is a relationship with God. Very, you know, few there be that ever find that relationship. And even though many are familiar with that verse, it's in Matthew 7:14, it takes spiritual revelation in order to experience the verse. God has to reveal it. I never realized the steps that lead to fulfilling that scripture setting. I never ever realized it. It's not, you know, it's just, it's, you don't fall off a log and end up believing. It don't happen. And of course, until the Holy Spirit revealed it, I never realized that the all-powerful Word of God was a useful or useless tool in the hands of an unbelieving church system. I never realized. See, the Word of God in truth is all-powerful. The Word of God that has been, how does it say in there? We are saved not by no, we're not saved by, Peter said, we are born again by, not by,
corruptible.
Yes, not by corruptible, but by incorruptible truth, which is the Word of God. That's what he says in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, the Word of God. And so, the seed is corrupted in the church structure. And I can see why. And so as people don't believe in the devil is the one that is corrupting it. Giving them all of these philosophies and all these theories and thoughts. And so as the devil visited Eve, so he has deceived millions by getting them to, in one way or another, question the reliability of God's word. And therefore, as men are not able to please God without faith, men are not able to experience the power within God's word without faith in it either. As such, we are just now, by the grace of God, beginning to have the right kind of confidence in that word. It took us a while. And I had a pretty good chance, I think, probably better than anybody else that was here. And yet, I have been so much a part of the perverted end of this thing. What was that word again? So much a part of the corruptible system that had changed God's word and went by their own theories and theologies, that I only by the grace of God could I come out of the thing. And so as the devil visited Eve, he has deceived millions by getting them to question the Bible. And therefore, as men are not able to please God without faith, men are not able to experience the power of God's word without faith in it. Okay, I said that before. And so we are beginning to see a change in this little group. Now, faith is the foundation of the entire new covenant. It was a replacement for the law. Faith in Christ is a replacement for the Old Testament law. And however, the faith that pleases God appears to only take place as men commit themselves to an ongoing intake of God's word. And the reason being, see, being the eternal expression of God to those he created and loves, that word, which was and is God, has God's power and authority to create God's divine nature within men. Now, what I just said was a mouthful, but it's the truth. The Word of God, being of the same nature as God, has the same. It has a divine power of God within it to create images of Himself out of us. And so, therefore, we become new creations. And without faith in God's word alone, this can't take place. We have to somehow have a faith built into us in God's word. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing. And so the first thing you do is you obey. And you start listening to God's word. That's obedience. You submit. And so why do you do that? I don't know why you do that. I did it because I heard a voice. Other people have done it because through what I had to say, they heard the same voice. You know, God's voice doesn't have to always be audible. As a matter of fact, God speaks out of His word constantly. And what has happened is the devil has convinced millions that there is power in their private interpretations and their creeds and their traditions. He has convinced them, which they are led to believe is God's word, or at least equal to it. And this is a thing, it took me a while, I understood. That's what we've gotten into. Churches have come up with their creeds and their traditions, and their, you know, like the Apostles' Creed or any of these things. You know what that is? It is equal, as far as they're concerned, it is equal to God's word. Okay, it might not be exactly the same, but it is equal to it. And so, and when men said, except you become converted and become as little children, this especially refers to our approach to God's word. We have to become converted and approach God's word as little children. Now, little children would never come up with their own private interpretations, but would hear God's word to learn. See, that's the reason for the little child thing. We don't suddenly become five-year-olds. We just have a five-year-old attitude. We hear to learn rather than hear to prove. And so the wise and the prudent think that they are able to circumvent the Holy Spirit. And that is, that's a big one. Oh, we can't see him. How do we know when he's working? How do we know when he's leading us? And they And so, you know, and so they divide, interpret the words of the Creator themselves. And meanwhile, without them realizing it, God is hiding what He meant by what He said from them. That's what truth is. Truth is what God meant by what He said, not how somebody interprets it. And the only one that knows exactly what God meant by what He said is the Holy Spirit. And so it's kind of ironic. And so the devil helps intelligent men read God's word and falsely interpret it and make it say what they want to hear. See, that was the problem with the Old Testament people. They were mad at the prophets. They ended up killing most of them because the prophets would not prophesy what they wanted to hear. And poor Jeremiah really suffered. God would tell him, you know, here's what I want you to say, and he'd get up and say it, and they'd lock him up. And after a while, he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. They'd put him down in this dungeon with water up to his waist, and he'd spend 3 or 4 days in there. How do you sleep? He can't sleep. And so he said, I'm not going to do it. He said, but the word of God within me was like a burning fire. And he said, so I had to speak. So he'd come up and he'd stand out there and he'd prophesy. They'd lock him up. So he'd prophesy. They'd lock him up. So he'd prophesy. You know why? Because he didn't say what they wanted to hear. You see our situation today? You see what we have in the church? I don't want to hear that. Why do I want to hear the Bible? Yeah. And so, if they have grown up to believe in the unscriptural Trinity, then the devil, you know, 1 John 4:3, will lead and guide them to twist the scriptures so that as to say things that actually do not line up with the every word exhortation by Jesus or by Jesus in Matthew 4:4, you know, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, or by the whole counsel of God, as Paul mentions in Acts 20, verse 27. See, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel. People don't like the whole counsel. The Old Testament Jews killed the prophets because they refused to tell them what they wanted to hear. That's why they killed them. And when the greatest of all the prophets came, which is Jesus Christ, because God says, He told Moses, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. And when he comes, hear him. And prophet, a god, a deity, or a man? It's a man. It's always a prophet is always a man. And they refused to hear him, even though he spoke God's words of truth to them. And so when it says he came unto his own and they received him not, in John 1:11, we don't know if we're talking about, God was in Christ. So did God come unto his own and they received him not? Why not? You know, it's like there's where a question is in people's minds. And so the lower nature works to fulfill the prophecies, and the Jewish leaders killed the one that they waited for and built their entire religious system around. And again, is that ironic? They waited for him all these years, offered all these sacrifices, and when he came, they killed him. And so because God is truth and created all things in truth, then whatever God does is the best possible way that there is to do it. Now that is a mystery. And that's a hard one. Whatever God says is the truth, and it's the best possible way to do something. So whatever God does, wherever, is the best possible way to do it, because God is God. God made it all. God created everything. So if God says that's the way you do it, that's the way you do it, because that's the right way to do it. And whether men accept this as a truth or not, that's immaterial. See, God is not only created us, but He created us so as to spend an eternity in His presence. And He didn't create us for this world. And that's why He says man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. There's nothing. This is not the end of the picture. This is just a schooling system. This is just a process where we come here, and then out of those that are here that will do God's will, those by foreknowledge He picks, He takes. And so God has the right to give us His eternal word, and has given us His eternal word that shows the stipulations that there are concerning eternal life. There are stipulations. If, unless, except. You know, how many of those do we have in the Bible? And so God has given us the right or the power, this is in John 1:12, to inherit eternal life. But it is not for everyone, since many will never look into God's word and find it. And so God says to all of His creation, in the day that you seek after me with all of your heart, you'll find me. In the day that you seek for me with all of your heart, you'll find me. And since all things of God are a great mystery to man, everything about God is a mystery. So much so that men say, there is no God. And when we first got Steve and Jeff and Chuck, when they were little, you know, their dad's uncle wanted them really bad. And his name was Herb Knowlton. And he wanted the boys, and they weren't with him a week before Steve came to us, and he said, Uncles, Herb says that there is no Jesus. He was a confirmed atheist. And I tell you what, that didn't do Joanne and I any favors. We said, I don't think so. And since all things of God are a great mystery to men, then no man can really understand unless God reveals things to them. But most men are not that willing to wait for God's revelations. And so in John 1:12, and how easy it is to miss this, we are told, as many as received Him. How about to as many as believed Him? It means the same thing. I mean, or listen to Him and hear and act upon it. To those guys, God will give the right and the power to become the sons of God. God will give them the right to become the sons of God. Now, who did? How does that happen? It don't happen through the church. It happens through the God that created us. You know, to those who believe on His name. And so what actually has happened to us by the mercy of God? God has given us the word of all truth so as to create faith within us. Is faith coming in? Yes. This thing that is happening to us is called faith. That's what's happening. So that we are able to listen and hear and believe, which will allow the power of God's Holy Spirit to create within us true sons of the living God. And so the divine nature of God is slowly developing within us, for God's thoughts and God's ways, God's thoughts and God's ways are developing in us, which is also the essence of God's kingdom. See, if we do by the holy word of God actually become partakers of God's divine nature, is that not the kingdom of God within us? If we develop God's divine nature, is that not God's kingdom? The scriptures say, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, but we have the mind of Christ. It was in the first chapter, or the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, what joy? God showed Him the joy of the next life. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and even despised the shame. He set aside, what a shame. That was a shame to hang on the cross. That was about as low a thing as it could happen to anyone. And the question is, did he always understand, or did he have a committed spirit? And I'm thinking that there were times that he did not understand, but he was willing to do whatsoever the Father led him to do. That's what it sounds like to me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, why did he ask God? He said, why have you forsaken me? You know, why have you forsaken me? And so as a man, I think on the cross, I think some of these things were removed. So he said, he's left me. I'm hanging here now just as a lamb sacrifice. But he was committed. Do you follow what I'm saying? And at 12 years old, he had said, remember, I must be about my Father's business. See, God found perfection in his Son, a perfection that we can obtain through faith. And so as Christ was a spotless lamb, then by faith in Christ, we are able to also be or become who and what Christ was and became. By faith in Christ, we can become Christians. That's what it means, you know what I mean? Like him. We can become like him by faith in him. And so, Christ was fully committed to God. It would appear to be that God looks for those who will commit themselves to him. I don't mean a commitment to some church or to some system or organization. Many people one day will, to their surprise, find out that they were committed to a religious organization rather than to God. You know, or how about maybe the vast majority of church goers? I don't know if anybody, hopefully nobody from my graduating class will hear this, but I went to my 62nd high school graduation thing yesterday. We have one every year now because too many people die each year. And anyway, as we're talking, and of course they know I'm a minister. They think I'm retired, but I should be probably. But how do you retire from God? You don't. And so, and they always ask me to pray, and I do, and so forth. But most of these people are Catholic. And I realized as they talked, you know, they don't know that they're in jeopardy. They think they're fine. And it's like I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I don't even know what to say to them. Because right now is not the time yet. You know, the time is coming. And I pray that when the time is right, then God will give me the right words to speak to him. See, are you beginning to see why Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen, or why few there be that find it? See, a voice really did speak to me. I really did hear, I heard a voice. And I know, I see the evidence that I heard a voice, and which totally changed the course of my life. And with the direction I was supernaturally given, many believed that I heard a voice, but only a few heard and believed what the voice said. Only a few are still here. When I was young, in the spring, we used to get deep ruts in the road leading to our house. You remember those days, Bonnie? And once the car tires got into those ruts, it was just about impossible to get them out. I can remember some real hairy situation. My dad had to go a couple times. He got stuck in the ruts, and he had to go get the tractor or a horse or a couple horses to pull him back to the house. Well, you know, we're all like that, like the ruts. Once we get into a comfortable church pew, it is super hard to come out from the thing and be separated. It's hard. And especially if your family goes there. And especially if two or three generations of your family go there. It's hard to get out of it. And so to forsake the creeds and the traditions and to step out on the water of God's word like Peter did is a step that very, very few are ever that willing to take. And yet, those are the ones that God looks for. Those who tremble at his word. You know, you can't tremble at God's word unless you first believe that it is God's word. And see, most people feel security in numbers, while God looks for those who feel security in him. Security in God alone. See, I look for security in the great community chapel. However, I have a committed spirit, which as God has seen in you and me and others yet to come. God is looking for a committed spirit. And so we can make mistakes. But God, it's not that he don't ignore the mistakes. Especially if we confess our sins and, you know, and get right with him. But, you know, I'm not saying that.